There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
This is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me today on this not so surface of the sun feeling that we've had in Minnesota for the past week or so. It's actually where you don't go outside and burn alive. So that's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good start. Now, I hope everyone had a good week. I am very happy right now, as it's been a while since we had a really good conversations about UFOs on the show. There's someone I've wanted to have on my show for some time, and there are a couple of topics I've also wanted to talk about too. And today, like a Reese's peanut butter cup, the chocolate and peanut butter merged to create the perfect show, or so we're hoping. As an active leader in UFO and ancient artifact investigation, Chase Klotsky employs a diverse set of skills and professional techniques known as the gold standards. Her work includes admissible inquiry, property case management, and scientific conclusions. A former Department of Defense employee and schooled and certified as a former private investigator, Chase consistently demonstrates the knowledge, technical requirements, legal parameters, and commitment to evidence-based investigations using the latest technologies and methods as professional law enforcement officials in a modern and forward-moving scientific environment. Chase holds attested certification in international forensic and evidence collections, holding memberships and the credentials of CPES through the International Association for Property and Evidence. She joined the Mutual UFO Network in 1996 and was selected as the STAR Team Manager and Deputy Director of Investigations through 2011. She was responsible for the program design, protocols, and investigation procedures for a National Rapid Response Unit. This position includes supervision of the most experienced investigators and access to the most sensitive and complex cases reported to MUFON. Chase designed the coveted Special Assignment Team, SAT, which became the highest level of investigation in MUFON. This is Tier 4 small and elite team of investigators. Chase became the Director of Investigations in 2018 and has since resigned her position in MUFON to pursue evidence and scientific investigations and to engage the lawmakers in D.C. with a focus on national security. In 2016, Chase became a registered and official lobbyist for the UFO field. This goal was realized through progressive understanding that to truly influence change and offer knowledgeable commentary on the realities of the UFO phenomenon, we must conclude our nation's elected and the very people that are trusted as our lawmakers. Chase, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Greg, I'm so happy to be with you tonight. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. To do so, to ask a question to Chase Klotsky, you can call in at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Or email us a comment or question. The email address for the station is comment at am950radio.com. We are live on AM 950 Radio, but also streaming video on the following Facebook pages. You can watch us on AM 950, Things Network, MN Ghostbox, Free Spirited Network, RU Media, Skeleton Key Network, and Temple of Phoenix Rising Entertainment. So please go there and support those pages too. Feel free to leave questions on any of those pages you're watching from, as I am monitoring the comments on those pages too. I want to talk about a couple things today that have fascinated me for a while. Two of them being the Battle of LA in 1942 and UFOs over Washington, D.C., including the U.S. Capitol in 1953. Chase, you know, I was just watching you today, I think on the program UFO, The Lost Evidence, and that's where I wanted to watch again. That just incredible this incredible moment in history soon after after Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. You have this very strange incident in Los Angeles. What happened there?
This is one of my favorite cases, and I'll tell you why. Because there were hundreds of thousands of witnesses. There was military interaction. And, of course, there was a cover-up. So this has really started way before Roswell. And I think this is a better case than Roswell because there was only a handful of people that handled Roswell. So I love it. So I'm grateful to talk about it. But on February 25th, like you said, 1942, right after, just a few months after Pearl Harbor was bombed, three radar stations tracked this unknown object that was just kind of moving from like Santa Monica and ended up going all the way south to Long Beach. But right now they're in this area about LA, and witnesses, thousands of witnesses describe a huge orange round thing just kind of traveling. And air raid sirens went off because they were on high alert. Day before, they had Japanese submarine actually fire on California coast. And this was in Elwood. And there was nobody hurt, not minimal damage, but you can imagine like the fear of the citizens living there at this time. I mean, it's remarkable. But what happened was, is they military fired upon this object eventually, sending off 1,400 ammunition. Like this munition, it was just crazy. Wow. And many witnesses saw this, you know, the explosions and the bombs hitting the object, and it did nothing to it. So that's kind of like the big overview, but I love this case.
Yeah, I mean, what interests me about it, first of all, is kind of perhaps how fickle we are in time, in the sense that it was pretty much a pretty big deal back in the day. But I mean, apart from people who follow UFOs or something, it's really a footnote now, isn't it? I mean, like you said, it's to me, it's also more interesting than Roswell. But at the same time, you don't ever really hear about this, opposed to the amount of press that Roswell still gets to this day.
We have to remember, at this period of time, we just declared war in Japan. People were still reeling and seething over Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. We just got hit by, you know, Japanese submarine. The patriotism alone was like high alert. I mean, it was a different time and a different place almost, but people were very patriotic there. And if the government said shut up or don't believe your lying eyes, they didn't believe their lying eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing too that I thought I read somewhere was that soon after that, President Roosevelt put out a memo regarding the nuclear power of such crafts. And I'm just curious, do you believe that our entrance into the nuclear age is brought on by any sort of alien, any technology from alien?
I honestly, I don't. I really believe that this was a race of arms and just, you know, humans had done this. And, you know, so whether like ancient aliens claim that these guys, you know, Oppenheimer and, you know, Einstein and all them were fed this information from extraterrestrials, I have no proof of that. And Greg, you know, I'm all about evidence and, yep. And things that we could prove or things that have the common sense behind them, like 100,000 witnesses.
Well, and the thing too is, I do watch Ancient Aliens and I find it fascinating. But if you go off of the Ancient Alien side of thing, they are responsible for virtually everything in our lives, which I find that a little much to take personally. I mean, I don't think the fact that I can, you know. It just is kind of crazy a little bit.
Yeah. And I did an episode on Ancient Aliens and it's entertainment. So let's be entertained.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to believe the quarter pounder of cheese came from aliens as well. So why not?
Right?
Well, I mean, Ronald McDonald probably is alien. I'd like to think so, at least. So when it comes to the Battle of LA, you know, what we have that kind of that iconic photo that was touched up with all of like the lights on this craft, and it just looks like it was, I think, what, a time exposed photo. So there's like the ammunition that is all around it, you know, but I understand that being run in a newspaper, that was touched up a bit. Do we have any other visual evidence or anything else that was like the untouched version of that photo?
I am aware that there is the original photo, allegedly. So, but I haven't had a chance to really investigate the origin and if that's really true. What we do know is that LA went into full blackout. You know, the sirens went off, the air raid sirens went off, and they just shut the electricity off. So it was completely black. You can imagine at 3 a.m. hearing this going on outside, people were walking outside. Munitions are falling all over LA, people's backyards. I mean, you know, this was something that it was a no joke. They saw something and they fired on it. They were given permission to do so. So, you know, how it goes after that is, you know, and the explanation was it was a false alarm. Well, too many witnesses were like, they're not buying it. And they immediately, or not a little well after, but changed it to, guess what? A weather balloon,
yeah,
which was
course.
The same excuse used a few years later, 5 years later at Roswell.
It's absolutely incredible. Why don't we do this? Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with author, international UFO forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Are you dreading Monday, hating life, and living for the weekends? It might be time for some life changes. Pamela Tapjian is board-certified hypnotherapist at hypnobreakthrough.com, and she can help. You heard her commercial during the break, that calming, wonderful commercial, and then here I come on like a bull in a china shop. Consultations are always free, and you'll also receive a complimentary sample session to try it out. Get in touch on hypnobreakthrough.com or send a message on social media, hypnobreakthrough or Pamela Marie Tapjian. Now, welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is author, international UF forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. And Chase, I don't know. I just want to welcome you to our experiment that we have going on here in the studio where I can see you for once. We haven't been able to see the guests. This is new for us. And then you can see me, lucky you. And so this is kind of the great experiment of AM 950 at the moment.
Awesome.
It sure is. You know, I'm seeing your background. It's beautiful. I have a lot of stuff here. My background over here in the studio, I've seen prison cells that have more decoration than this studio. So, you know, I guess, yes, you know, maybe we have a TV we never turn on to start with.
It takes time.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your positivity. So here we are. We were talking about the Battle of L.A., and we were talking about the infamous weather balloon that gets around, because that seems to get everywhere in terms of what we actually are seeing in the sky. You know, I'm assuming in Arizona, when you had that big V-shape ship that so many people captured in the late 90s, I think it was, I bet that was just a weather balloon as well, huh?
Right. The Phoenix Lights. That's a great case as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's just amazing that, you know, the government cover up and stuff. And that's just kind of, you know, that's kind of a old story, I guess, because that's age old, isn't it? But when it comes to the Battle of L.A., was there anything, any wreckage found at all after that night that anyone has been able to kind of identify as part of that those events?
And that's what the strange thing is. You know, there were reports from police officers saying that they saw planes getting hit and you know, crashing. The only thing they found on the ground was the munitions and debris.
Mm. But nothing from this, nothing from that thing in the air, though, that we just don't really know what it is.
Not that it has been reported. So, and hundreds of thousands of witnesses said that they actually saw these shells hit the object. It just didn't do anything to it. So I'm willing to think that, you know, that it's probably a true story that is all they found.
It's interesting because obviously, though, and I mean, not obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but the ship got away anyway, right? I mean, they didn't take it down. They were hitting it, but it never was taken down, was it?
No, not at all. In fact, it slowly moved. It took it like 30 minutes to go, like, I don't know, 40 kilometers. Don't quote me on that one, but I'm pretty sure it was close to that. And it literally went down to south, what do they call that? Not Newport News. It's south of LA. It's that
sure.
big, it's right there on the shore. Anyway, it's Long Beach. Sorry. There
okay.
it is, Long
yep.
Beach.
Yep.
South of Long Beach, it just disappeared.
Wow. It just amazes me. And, you know, it also goes to show, you know, how time has changed, right? That even, you know, even between, say, 1942 and 1947, just the way, I mean, I maybe I'm being harsh here because like you mentioned in the last segment, I was going to say between 1942 and 1947, you had this... you know, a very much a different approach to how people reacted to the news of either the Battle of LA or the Roswell incident. But the thing is you're right. I mean, obviously, I keep underplaying the fact that there was a war going on. You know, I mean, I'm sure you talk to anybody, most people, they would have just assumed, regardless, even if you told them it might have been a UFO, I'm sure most people would have responded as, well, it's probably some enemy fire of some kind.
And we still deal with that today, you know, with all the military coming out now that admit they've seen things they can't explain and objects that they can't deal with that are completely superior, and no one's talking about it. It's so it's still the same thing we're dealing with today. Was just this, it's got to be, you know, foreign technology. It's got to be China. It's got to be Russia. It's got to be, and yet I'm pretty sure if they really had that technology, they wouldn't just be teasing in the sky every once in a while. I'm pretty sure they'd be dominating.
Do you think, I mean, this was a question I was going to ask because I'm very curious and I'll put my point of view out there in a second, but do you think that any sort of alien encounter that the U.S. government has is more of, if anything, it's from crashed technology opposed to any aliens actually working with the U.S. government?
Absolutely. It's from crashed technology that, and we're finding out more and more through great leaders that have just kind of come out, like Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon and, you know, these guys, Steve Justice that used to work for Skunk Works on the SR-71. So these are people with a deep knowledge. And when things are, you have to read between the lines sometimes and follow the breadcrumbs they drop.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I believe. Now, it doesn't discount that it's possible that, you know, the other side is true. I just focus on physical evidence. And that is something where I pay attention to. You know, you've got Skinny Bob in some basement. I feel bad for Skinny Bob. I wouldn't work with these guys anymore. It's like, no.
I have this goal, this vision of a gray wearing like a general's military uniform, and that, you know, humans are saluting to it. You know, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm counting on. That there is a full on partnership. But it does seem more and more as the years pass that is not really the case, is it?
Well, there are some, you know, investigators and people that have come out, like Corso is one who says that, you know, he had interactions with the gray and helped it escape and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But from what I'm hearing is if these stories are true, they don't want to be here. So, you know, are they going to be cooperative and join our military? And, you know, is Queen of England a reptilian? You know, these are, you know, I call them rabbit holes.
The rabbit holes are my favorite, though, but I get it. I totally get it, because you have to, there has to be a voice of like sanity, doesn't there? Instead of people like me who wants to have a reptoid in studio with me and communicate with them, right?
Oh my gosh, I spent, since 1996 trying to get these things, like getting that evidence. And, you know, do I want an alien? Hell yeah, I want an alien. Yes, yes, yes.
We need to find our reptoid is what we need to do. Why don't we do this? Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with author, international UFO forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Have you been out to see our friends at Enchanted Boutique? This wonderful metaphysical store offers products such as books, candles, tarot cards, crystals, plus classes and services, and they are truly wonderful people. You can visit them at 1860 Beam Avenue, Maplewood, Minnesota, or if you don't want to go out to the store, which that's your problem, it's a great place, or if you're not in the state, you can go to their Facebook page, Enchanted Boutique MN, and also their website, EnchantedBoutiqueMN.com. On their social media channels, I've been seeing them gearing up for some big stuff for the summer. You know, it sounds like it's going to be a great summer for them. It's going to be a great year. As always, check out the classes. Check out everything they're going on. Once again, that is over at EnchantedBoutiqueMN.com or over on Facebook, EnchantedBoutiqueMN. Once again, Char Savoy and myself are teaming up for another round of online paranormal classes starting July 18th. The series of classes called Paranormal Dimensions and the Supernatural, we will explore the untold reality of being a paranormal investigator with over 20 years combined years of experience in the field. We have gathered what is helpful and what is not. We will provide insight to help you understand, explore, and experience the world of connecting with spirits from start to finish. This is a series of 5 in-depth classes that build off each other. We have gathered all you will need to use your own intuition, do research, examine evidence of all kinds, and even about the latest equipment. We will be sharing our own related experiences and evidence throughout the series to help you develop your own skills to being an empowered paranormal researcher and investigator. Also included are interviews with some of the most experienced people in the supernatural field as well. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. After completing the series of classes, you'll have an exclusive invite to a location where you will be able to take part in what you learned and use it as part of a paranormal investigation. Classes start July 18th, and you can sign up at charvinity.com under upcoming classes and events. And we're going to put a direct link on my show page this week at am950radio.com. Also, if you miss Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes. After listening, please leave a positive review for my show. I would greatly appreciate it. We now return to our guest today, author, international UFO forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. And after I got all that done, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, Chase. Well, you know, I do actually.
I think it was the flap in DC.
Well, you know, and I'm gonna ask you something real quick. We're gonna kind of go off topic here, I think, a little bit, because one of the things that I found very interesting was a documentary, and you weren't a part of it, which it bums me out, but a documentary on Discovery Plus. It had Melissa Tittle in it, and they were talking about basically the connection between the maybe aliens visiting the Earth that are confused for paranormal activity. Have you ever looked into anything like that?
I have, and I actually have been on many paranormal investigations because I believe it's all connected. And these are things, there's very similar activities in, you know, paranormal, UFOs, and even Bigfoot, mm-hmm. where you get these sighting reports And just like on Skinwalker Ranch, you know, they see this portal open, they see this big hairy Bigfoot thing come out. But before that were strange lights. So I think this is something where we just can't dismiss one because, you know, you don't like the other. And, you know, paranormal investigators, UFO, we don't like to mix our sciences, do we?
Yeah.
But we need to.
You know, that's a great answer. And that's what I've always thought, too, is basically, I mean, in my mind, in my small little mind, I've always thought to myself, you can't have one without the others. You can't, in my mind, you can't say that something exists without having at least a passing sort of respect for the other areas, I guess. You know, that's just my thought, at least.
Correct.
So what I want to do, I'm going to switch gears on us a little bit. We're going to talk about, as you had just mentioned, talk about in 1953. So here we have, in 1942, we had the Battle of L.A. We talked a little bit about Roswell, not saying that there wasn't anything in between, but kind of hitting some milestones here. But then in 1953, we had some unprecedented situation for 2 weeks in a row, two Saturdays in a row, that we had unidentified flying objects that broke airspace, restricted airspace around parts of Washington, D.C. What was going on there?
That's again, you know, you have all these witnesses, thousands of witnesses. DC's always been, you know, kind of a hub and people walk around. It's beautiful. And, you know, all of a sudden they see these objects and we call them, you know, they're just everywhere. And we call that a flap. And that is when you have many UFOs in one area with as many witnesses, you know, telling you about this. And they also are reported in other areas. So you can imagine you're in DC, enjoying a nice, beautiful Saturday, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking up, and you look up, and you see these shiny disc-type objects just flying over the Capitol, just, you know, showing off, having fun.
And like, I mean, it's like I'm going to ask questions that, I mean, obviously I know the answer to. It's like, what did people think of it? Well, of course, there people were probably wondering what the hell it was or freaking out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of reports about people like screaming and running or, you know, it appears from, you know, things I've read that they were more mesmerized. You know, they didn't feel threatened. They felt more like, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. What is going on? So, and again, most people don't think when they see something strange like that, their first thought isn't UFOs. Their first thought is enemy technology, foreign technology, you know, secret, you know, things that are done for us, because even our friends spy on us, right? So, you know, I think that's probably the first thing they thought was, you know, it's probably, you know, terrestrial, you know.
Was there any talk about what the Air Force would have done? I mean, what I mean by that is, like I said, it was two Saturdays in a row that this happened. You know, if they came back a third Saturday, was there a plan in place, or not even a third Saturday, a third time? Do you know of any plan in place that would have addressed the situation, I guess?
Yeah, that information's kind of getting, it's tough to get your hands on the original documents on what was the reaction. The military and Pentagon and those inside the White House and the Capitol, they're going to treat it as a threat because they don't know what it is. So mm-hmm. Surely they had things on standby. And I would imagine that, you know, radar, you know, like there's a little more attention that way. And it could be why they didn't come back for a third Saturday is, you know, it's like, okay, guys.
Yeah. I mean, and two, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I might get the name wrong. Wasn't it General Samford that he had a press conference around that time or something, you know, talking about the people are seeing more and more of this stuff in the skies. And it was just making me wonder if that was kind of that perception, UFO perception was kind of getting out of control in the U.S. in terms of how they maybe people were criticizing the government of maybe a lack of general information.
Yeah, and it's hard to investigate UFOs, trust me. I've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
Because you're usually after the fact, and very seldom do you become part of a report. It happens, but it's seldom. And I can imagine that, honestly, this is, I just really think that this is probably one of the biggest things, because now you're in the Capitol, and two Saturdays in a row, the government's running out of excuses. How many times are you going to use a weather balloon?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times are you going to say there was nothing, you know, when you have thousands or hundreds and thousands of witnesses? So, you know, I think it's just getting a little tiresome. So what they do is they just button up and they don't answer any questions or try to give you any answers at all.
So with that being said, do you think that that the U.S. government handles those questions better now, for lack of a better term, better? Because it certainly feels like, you know, at the time that this was all happening, the government kind of had its pants down, so to speak, because it was, this is kind of a new sort of era. But, you know, over the last, you know, 70 years, we've been able, they've been able to put processes or like the Majestic Group or whatever into place to kind of now put it together. Do you think that they're much more skilled at it now than they were back then?
Nope. I really don't. And a lot of that has to do with Lou Elizondo when he came out and he ran the UFO program at the Pentagon for just a little bit of time, and they weren't listening. Like, you know, he had access to everything. And, you know, you just had these people within there that just were not going to let this be, or they thought it was, stop putting out the narrative of UFOs. These are demons. You know, we're in, you know, these are demons. These are vehicles. These are vehicles coming in that are prophesied in, you know, the Bible. And, it, you know, it just is crazy. But until we have full set of eyes and, you know, transparency through freedom of information, you know, and transparency from our government, they know a lot, but who's keeping these secrets, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it in Congress? Is it like a special group in the military? No, I think it's all compartmentalized. And we have this like little group that kind of handles everything and controls the narrative. So, you know, and the other thing is the government keeps these secrets, but let's not forget, they're not saying anything either. They're not telling us what's going on. They're not giving us cure for cancer or helping with the brutalities that are going on. I really do think, like President Reagan said, you know, that I wonder how humanity would come together knowing that we're now one species. And, you know, so I kind of wonder who's really responsible for the secrets.
That's a real interesting point. I mean, do you, I'm going down a rabbit hole, okay? Put up a big sign that says rabbit hole. I mean, do you think that there's, I mean, that's one of the reasons for maybe any sort of lack of communication about aliens on any, from any country, because that might be something that unites humanity more than anything else?
Yeah, I can't see, think of personally much else that would unite us as humans and, you know, just be a species that supports each other, because there's plenty out there. So, but I think we're childish, and, you know, you have to wonder, is it that they're keeping secrets because they get to do what they want and nobody's going to stop them? Or are we just ants that like, I'm not going to bother an ant hill because I can walk in that jungle all I want. The ants aren't going to do anything about it. So there's so many different levels that you can think about why they're not interacting with us as a whole. And I would love nothing else than, you know, those ships to come in and they're good. And I'm going to tell you that I personally don't believe that's true. I don't believe it's all going to be love and light.
Right.
I really don't. I think just like humans, you've got good ones, you've got bad ones, you've got, and I don't believe it's just aliens. Sure, we can have angels and demons. Why does it have to be just one category?
Yep.
You know, like, is it just a ghost, or is it just residual, or, you know, you know what I'm saying?
It's absolutely
just, no, we have to keep an open mind that these are mysteries and we have to treat them like mysteries.
Absolutely. Why don't we do this? Let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with author, international UFO forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And word came through this week about the untimely passing of author, journalist, and friend Gerard Williams. Gerard is known for his research on Adolf Hitler's escape from Nazi Germany in 1945, which culminated in the book Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler, and his appearances on the History Channel's TV series Hunting Hitler. Next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bach, and I'm going to replay our episode with him as guest, which aired only this past May, and who would have thought that he was not going to come back on for his next appearance, which we were already talking about. And he was really excited to come back on. So, we unfortunately, when we had him on in May, we had some technical difficulties and he didn't really come through very strong because he was over in the UK and we're having some problems connecting. So I'm going to clean up the audio this week. So hopefully that you get to hear everything he had to say. It was a fantastic episode. He's a fantastic person. He's going to be very much missed, but we're going to replay that episode next Sunday. So please check it out. What he had to say was absolutely fascinating. For our final segment, we return to our guest today, author, international UFO forensic investigator, Chase Klotsky. And it's such an interesting conversation about, the fact that you got to think there's going to be a period of time that we are going to find out a lot more. And, I just wanted to ask you, Chase, that, was it last year that we had that report that was released that they were giving some really, and I'm in quotes, like really some good information on what's been happening in terms of UFO sightings and stuff. What did you think about that report?
You're talking about the one that came from like Congress?
Exactly, yes.
Or the report that came from from the group that's now investigating UFOs. It's you almost wonder. It's like, why do you not have a UFO investigator with decades on your staff? I mean, these are things that they don't have a background. And when they were testifying in front of Congress, they would ask them a question about a well-known UFO event. And they're just like, well, I have no information on that. I have no idea. And they just seemed like they just had no interest whatsoever to even be there. And, if you don't have a passion for this stuff and, have a little fire in your gut and maybe be a door kicker every once in a while, you're just not going to bring anything new to the table, right?
Yeah.
So if nothing else, I hope that these guys and these generals or whatever at least open some of the files and open some of the things that we know are there. We can't have them yet. So I think that's a good place to start. And then we finish pushing them on more transparency and more interaction with our lawmakers.
I feel like that is something that is key there, is that transparency. Because I remember that there was a podcast. I can't remember. this is the level of quality of information I give out. There's a podcast. I don't remember which one, with a guest. I don't remember who he was. But talking about UFOs, and he just said, listen, this footage that they're releasing, that night vision footage from an air fighter that was, really tracking this thing. I think it was from 2017 or something like that. And I think it started to really make the rounds last year or something like that. Yeah. And he said, just think about this, though. I mean, they're treating it like new, but it was many years, pretty much many years ago by the time we get to see. And I understand the implications of classification, but you got to wonder too. It's like, are they just throwing us little tidbits of stuff to maybe that some of us will shut up? Or is there actually going to be like, or is it actually like, yeah, this is really all we do have? I mean, I would love to believe that they're being transparent, but I don't think anybody thinks that they're being transparent.
Well, and to their benefit or to their credit, sometimes they can't, because what happens if we're showing like this amazing radar footage? Russia doesn't know we're capable of that type of radar. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really cognitive of ways and means. And so I get that as far as the secrecy. But there's so much more that they can do to put out there. And, you know, I just love that right now, if you see something, say something. Now, you know, the military is asking pilots, you know, and even, you know, just any military, if you see something weird, you need to report it, because they're serious about the national security of things in our airspace. And we don't know what they want, who they are, and, you know, or even what they're capable of. So, you know, this is a huge step, something I never thought I would ever in my lifetime see. So I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty stoked about the future of it. But I do realize there's going to be things that will be held back.
Well, and, you know, it makes me feel good. Someone as yourself, who I respect in the field, and someone who I'm going to know is going to be, you know, who's very actively wanting things to be good, that if you're feeling good about it, then it helps me feel good about it as well. Switching gears real fast, we have less than 2 minutes left, and I wanted to take a moment to ask you, how can people reach out to you, or, you know, get your book or anything else that you want to kind of share with us about yourself?
I'm really big on Twitter. I love Twitter. There's a hashtag UFO Twitter, and I spend so much time there. Like, you know, and if you follow me, I'd like to follow you back. So, and if I don't, because I don't always see everybody who follows, then just, you know, give me that little message in that private DM, and I'll follow you right away. Because I think this is a conversation that's worth having. I'm on Facebook. I don't use that very much anymore, but you really, Twitter, absolutely. I'm there all the time. And it's just Chase Klitsky. So that's my handle over there. My book is on Amazon. We have a second edition. So the first edition, somebody told me it's selling for like $240. That's not the one for sale. It's like 20 bucks. And it's a manual on how to investigate paranormal, UFOs, and any kind of unknown creatures. Because there's only one way to investigate, and that's following the Department of Justice protocols.
That's really interesting. The idea that, you know, you can put a standard, like, not to use your, I mean, it's not the gold standard that you're talking about, or it, I mean, I'm assuming not, at least, but there is a standard of how that all works. And I think that's a really wise way of looking at it. And we had talked about, before the show,
yeah, you should.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, using the same protocols as, you know, a cop or a police officer, you know, investigating a murder or a robbery or an insurance claim. You know, there are certain things that you just, if you want admissibility and if you want to hand your client or, you know, your person a file worthy, then we have to follow these protocols.
Absolutely. This is great. Chase Klitsky is an active leader in UFO and ancient artifact investigation. We've been very, very blessed to have you on, and we only scratched the surface. We talked earlier about having her back on to talk about all the other things she's doing. Chase, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Absolutely. You rock, mister.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.